Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We're back today with Colleen Riddle, who's the Director of Foster Care Ministries for the Florida Baptist Homes for Children. She and her husband, Shane, are the parents to three children, two of whom they adopted out of foster care and one biological son. Colleen has a lot of experience dealing with some of the more extreme cases that we might come across in foster care and has seen God move many mountains through people who are trusting in Him. And so yesterday we talked about the fact that their oldest son was 18 when he joined their home, and their daughter was 13, 14-ish when she came home. And so she's been home for a year. And I know, Colleen, that you had mentioned that your daughter specifically had been through a lot of trauma and that your son, both of them were in a lot of placements. And so as foster and adoptive moms, oftentimes we have to really come up with some unique ways to help our children feel restored and begin the healing process. So we'd really like to just begin with, what are some of the ways that you've learned how to parent these kids?
Yes, well, poor Corey was our guinea pig child. So
we all have one of those.
We were not prepared with services in place and a plan when he moved in. But the lessons that we learned in trying to get him connected really helped us prepare for when Brittany moved in. So that was a blessing, but not necessarily for him, but for Brittany, it was definitely a blessing. I think some of the most important lessons that we learned were to try to understand her perspective. So when you're moving somebody into a new home, it's scary. It's so scary. And so we wanted to recognize that for her. We didn't want to dismiss or minimize her fear in any way. But we knew we needed to help her feel secure.
That's right. Safety.
And develop. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And develop a trust in us that the decisions that we were making were in her best interest, and we never would want to harm her. And so you see that often through the things that they're able to take with them. And sometimes they have barely anything, foster children moving so often. But sometimes some of them are really good at holding on to the most random objects.
That's true.
And they will take loads and loads of just junk. But it's important to them. It's security. It is theirs. It's something that is their own that they can take with them no matter where they're at.
And they can control that. That's something they can control.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we needed to respect that coming in. And so one of the rules that we said is, this is God's house. God has given us his home so that we can have our family here. So we're not going to worry about the stuff in the house. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't look exactly a certain way, or if a bedroom's not set up exactly how we would want to set it up, there's a time and a place for having an immaculately decorated and clean home. And then there's a time and a place to just develop safety and security and make the home feel like a home, even if it doesn't look like a home in my sense of the word. And so we really had to consciously set aside the tangible. Also going in, sometimes objects are treated differently, or there's different situations where things may get broken or damaged, and that had to not be a big deal. That had to not be important. People are more important to stuff. So that was a message that we would say over and over and over and over. And there were times when we had to say it over and over to remind ourselves.
Right.
We would get really upset over something, and we would coach ourselves through that mantra, but really meaning it when you say people are more important than things. It's just a thing. It can be replaced or repaired. It's not a big deal. Right. So that is definitely one of the important lessons that we had in place moving forward, just for ourselves. And then being able to have honest conversations, and this is where we brought in the therapy. you need a therapist who will be absolutely honest with you, with your child, and in family sessions. You cannot skirt the difficult conversations. You have to set boundaries for how discipline will be. What are the important things that you will discipline for? What is the junk behavior that you're just going to ignore? Because in the big scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So sitting down and being able to have a very, very blunt conversation over topics that Christians sometimes aren't comfortable discussing.
Right.
Having, you know, purity in relationships, and that can get very detailed with teenagers and young mm-hmm. adults. In ways where often adults in Christian circles just skim over it. Oh, you know what we mean.
Right. Right. Because they don't know what you mean. They do not know what you mean. It's the rules have changed. Yes.
So being able to have very clear,
yes,
honest conversations with uncomfortable topics and mm-hmm. a therapist who will guide you through that. We were so blessed to have a therapist who had worked with Brittany for a little while, committed to her and continued to provide services in our home. And she would, we would have a great family session. And sometimes she would pull Shane or I aside and say, listen, that you're being too picky over this. Let wow. this go. This will work itself out. This is not a behavior where it is intentional defiance or intentional disrespect or anything like that. This means something different. And so really heeding the advice of that professional is very, very important. So we have individual therapy, a must for your teenager, your older child that you've adopted, and for younger children. But that talk therapy where they have a trusted person that they can just say whatever they need to say to. They can criticize their parents. They can criticize the home, and it's safe for them to do so. Family therapy, so there's a neutral party kind of mediating some of those difficult conversations. And those are your traditional talk therapies that will help ease her anxiety in working with it through the trauma-focused CBT.
So one of the things that I am kind of gathering from you is that it's not like you'd been a seasoned parent of teenagers for mm-hmm. years and years, so you needed a skill set. So as you were kind of going through this process, you had to seek out wisdom, and you had to look for people who could assist you in this way because, you know, some of the things that you were talking about was, you know, understanding her perspective and not dismissing her fears or her need to bring, you know, trinkets into your house that you think, good grief, why are you bringing that in here? So some of those things just right. wouldn't come naturally to us as adults. We look at things and we have a specific way that we view the world. And so I think some of those things that you're talking about, these very practical things that you've discussed, are really important for us to hear because we want to make our home a certain way. Right. We like things to be in a certain order at our house. But when you bring in a child who's been through lots of trauma and lots of placements, they don't have an idea. They don't even have the foggiest clue how your home is going to run. And so you've got to really start from square one. And you have to know and have the skills yourself to be able to walk them through that so that they feel like it is their home and that it's not just some drill sergeant telling them, you can only do this or we can only have your bed there. You can't bring that stuff in here. Otherwise, you're going to lose them before they even really are in your house for 12 hours. Yesterday, when you were talking about after Owen was born, that it was really beneficial to your teenagers to kind of bond you together as a family, did you find that having a little one in your house to love where they love you back unconditionally was beneficial for your kids?
I did, yes. I was really nervous about that at first. Just the traditional, like, older kids scared of mixing a younger child. But I think it's been great. I think that Owen has been a huge part of everybody's healing process, mm-hmm. Because he does love them unconditionally and he doesn't know any different. They've always been his older siblings. And so that's been really, really neat to watch. And sometimes even now, if, Brittany is upset with us, she'll go snuggle Owen. Mm-hmm. And that's that's great, because she still understands that even, you know, even if she disagrees or she's upset, there's still love and we're still a family. And so it's just been really awesome to have that, see that relationship and that dynamic grow. And it's so funny because Owen has always been a vocal child, but even now he's extremely vocal. And so I take him with me to Brittany's swim meets and her father coaches, and I cheer for her. And I'm known for cheering very loudly so that people can hear underwater. But Owen has picked up on that, and she'll be able to hear him yelling from the sidelines all kinds of nonsense, and she thinks it's great, and he knows, hey, that's my sister. I'm yelling because everybody else is yelling, but it's for my sister. So it's just been really fun to see that aspect.
I love that, because that's such a part of therapy too, to have someone in the stands. Mm-hmm. And I think when our son came home, he was older and he loved sports. And so we got him in a basketball league, and it was just, you could tell it just changed his whole persona, because he had a family in the stands that cheered for him. He'd never had that before. And we began to see the trust level just rise just through sports. Mm-hmm. And being there for them. We didn't miss a game.
You can teach all kinds of lessons through sports. So we found that to be beneficial, but the support of, hey, everybody's coming out to watch me and cheer for me is so huge.
Do you find, too, that things like that, if you know, when your older son comes along to cheer for your daughter, or things like holidays or birthdays, I mean, have you utilized those kinds of things to try to help bond your older kids together? Because 25 years old and a 14 or 15 year old, I mean, how do you make them feel like siblings? It's easy to do that with Owen.
It's actually, Brittany's been great for Corey, because the lessons that we teach to Brittany, him being our man child, so he has a lot more choice in some of the things, but Brittany doesn't let him get away with skipping family activities or family dinners or things like that. She's right there at his door, like, Corey, this is family dinner, come sit at the table, come that's eat with great. Us, do this. So that's awesome. But he also will take her out on special brother sister dates. He'll take her to
fantastic.
A new movie that's coming out. With her first birthday, he got her a beautiful birthstone necklace, just like letting her know, hey, I care about you. So they have a special bond because they have some shared experiences. And then Corey's been a wonderful big brother and looking out for her in that aspect. And then she doesn't let him off the hook socially with the rest of the family either. So the two together, it's really been fun to watch and see. And even greater than that, I have a lot of sisters. My second sister, they're foster parents. And so they have a 14-year-old foster son. So when we hang out extended family, Corey really takes charge, and the three of them will spend hours together just interacting. And they have a very neat, special relationship where Corey's kind of looking out for them as the oldest one, but they enjoy each other's company and they really feel safe with each other. So that's been awesome to see as well.
Colleen, I'd like to ask you, how long before you felt like Brittany's mom?
Ooh.
You don't have to talk about that if you don't want to. That's the struggles we're hearing. So.
The transition was a little different for me, I think, than most, because I was already she already called me her church mom.
Oh, yes, right.
Already used to having a little bit of authority and say in her life. But as her mentor, it had been like, you know, these are the rules when you're in my car, when you're in my care. And then transitioning to be her parent, it was like, okay, now I'm responsible for enforcing these all of the time.
Right.
And even more than just enforcing the rules was wrapping my head around that character development. Mm-hmm. What type of young lady do I want her to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And so once that started to come a little more naturally about thinking for the long term rather than just getting through that particular day, I think that's when I really felt like I am her mom in every aspect of being her mom. Probably took a good 6 months of adjusting and transitioning into that, I would say. But
that's after you'd already been in a relationship with her for how long?
Cool. 2.5 years, almost 3 years at that point.
So I think for the listeners, it's important to hear that it does take a lot of time, and that just because you don't feel like you've got the emotions of what you would perceive that my mom emotion should
be. Nurturing mother, right?
Right. Not an abnormal feeling.
Right.
That it does take time, just like with any relationship, to grow and build trust and feel like, you know, that you're in this for the long haul, that's not an unusual feeling to have where you don't feel like the mom necessarily. So I feel like people need to hear that. And you just keep plugging along, and you ask the Lord and sometimes even beg the Lord, please give me that nurturing mom emotion toward my son or daughter, or please give them an attachment toward me, and really begging the Lord for that fierce, loyal affection with your child. I think that's not a wrong thing to do. It's necessary.
That's right. And, you know, even Corey was older when you brought him home, mm-hmm. but you and Shane were still the adults in the room.
Right.
Right.
And you still had to embrace that role no matter how you felt. And I think that's a struggle for a lot of families who bring older children mm-hmm. in their home. They expect them that though they look 18 to act 18, and a lot of times they're stuck mm-hmm. and they're not capable of doing that.
Right.
They've never been taught. It's never been modeled. And especially for that feeling comes much later.
Yes.
Even with all the other families I've coached for an older youth, because they are used to taking care of themselves. And so they don't seek out.
They are independent, usually, yes.
The assistance to have their needs met in the same way a younger child or an infant does. I know even recently we tell our children, I understand that you are used to taking care of yourself and that you don't necessarily think you need our protection or our guidance, but that's our job.
Right. Right?
We are here to protect you. That's my job. I'm Mama Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if something's going on at school or with sports or whatever, you need to let me know, because it's my job to take care of it. I'm not saying that you haven't taken care of it in the past or that you're not capable of it, because I don't want to insult that past experience and how they've learned to survive and the survival instincts. But once the trust is built where they start turning that over to you, then absolutely stepping up and making sure you take care of it to the fullest extent, that will also further that relationship of, you know, coming to the parent for the need and the parent meeting the need, fosters that feeling of, hey, I'm the mom. This is my deal to handle.
I sometimes feel like you live Groundhog Day in a sense, maybe not day by day, but even season by season, that you're saying the same things to them. You know, I'm team Corey. I'm team Brittany. We're here for you for the long haul. This is your home. We love you. We'll love you always. And I think sometimes people think that it's going to happen way faster than it is, but it does take time. It's really a progression. And sometimes it really can take years, and that's okay.
Right.
Because even Lynette and I both have teenagers and young adult children, young adult people, whatever you want to call them. and even there are times that we're treasuring our child, and then they look at us and, you know, like stiff arm, and we don't really need your advice right now. And it's hurtful and painful, but it's my biological child doing it to me, no different than our adopted mm-hmm. children are doing it. That's kind of a typical teenager behavior. And so they think, oh, well, they don't want to have anything to do with me, so we're never going to be able to bond. Well, good grief, that happens to me every day. I mean, seriously.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So I think you have to
That's the question we ask ourselves all of the time. Is this normal teenage behavior?
Or adopted,
Something else. How much do we need to read into this?
Right.
How do we react to this? I definitely consult this all of the time. Like, okay,
When you and
normal,
Shane,
not normal.
When you and Shane get that figured out, you come back and tell us, because I've been an adoptive mom for 15 years and I'm still trying to gauge that sometimes. Right.
But when you look at it layer upon layer, trauma and different placements and their trust level, and then you add in, you know, trying to bond with the new parents at that particular age, I just want to reiterate to our listeners, Lynette and I talk about this all the time, to give yourself permission and time to bond, and don't feel like that you just should throw in the towel because it's not easy. Because basically, the hardcore of it is the Lord's called you to do this. Mm-hmm. It is about your relationship with your child. It's about helping your child grow into adulthood where they're passionate followers of Christ, but it's also about your own sanctification.
Yes.
And it's the Lord teaching you, I'm going to ask you to do hard things, and sometimes it's not going to turn out the way that you want it to, but it's not about that. It's about what I've asked you to do to be obedient to me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It really gives you a chance to live out unconditional love.
Yes.
Something that we preach regularly. We tell our children, you cannot earn our love. We've chosen to love you, and you cannot get rid of our love because we've chosen to love you. And then really a chance to share the gospel with them too, because I only understand and know about unconditional love because that's how Jesus has loved me.
Right.
And so that is what I'm passing on to you. So really it gives you an opportunity to understand how much you yourself have been forgiven as you go through this process. And you think, you know, gee, golly, I only have to love you unconditionally for this or this or this, but Jesus, he died. So that's so much bigger. And it's been wonderful to hear, especially our daughter recently grasp that and be able to explain it back to other people. She's written a letter to future foster parents. I recruit often and she likes to come with me if she can, because she likes to tell foster parents what they're getting into and what they need to do and not do. But she's written a letter, and the beginning of that letter, she outlined the salvation story and just clearly shared that she understood she'd been forgiven and Jesus loved her unconditionally. And then she's preaching at these future foster parents
Like,
these children are going to be broken and they're going to be hurting and they're going to be angry and they're going to do this and this and this. And you still need to love them unconditionally or you might be a hypocrite. And So just seeing that growth is awesome.
It is such a beautiful picture of the gospel. We are broken. We were apart from the Lord. We didn't deserve any love. We put our fist out to the Lord and said no, and yet he pursues us, and yet he loves us. And it's a picture of adoption and foster care and pointing our kids back to the gospel and begging the Lord for his mercies every day, and that when our spirit is overwhelmed within me, then he knows our path and he carries us through. So,
yes, ma'am.
Colleen, we are so, so grateful for you and for your passion for vulnerable children and for how you and Shane have followed hard after the Lord. And we do pray for your family and pray that Corey and Brittany Owen will be passionate warriors for the Lord all the days of their life because of your obedience to the Lord. So thanks so much for coming and being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Colleen.
You've been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other available resources, visit sendrelief.org.